This podcast is designed for storytelling purposes, and while a lot of work goes into searching the information provided today, I am not a journalist or a news reporter, and I encourage everyone to do their own research on this case.
Police in eastern Idaho searched the home of Chad Daybell in Rexburg this morning.
Fremont County Sheriff's Detectives and the Rexburg Police served a search warrant on his home this morning.
Say human remains of the FBI have searching the Daybell property about 7 o'clock this morning.
Daybell's six children, 17-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua Vallow, have been missing for almost a year. They were last seen in September of 2019.
Where are your kids?
No comment.
No comment? They've been missing for 4 months. You have nothing to say? You're over here in Hawaii? Where are your children? Yeah, why don't you just give us a comment? Just tell us where they are. Chad, where are Lori's kids? What happened to Tammy, Chad? Can you tell us what happened to Tammy? Why have you guys been in Hawaii for so long? Listen, just tell people what's happening. There's people around the country praying for your children, praying for you guys. Why don't you give us answers?
That's great.
That's great. That's great that they're praying for you, praying for your kids. What? You have nothing to say? Did you do something to your children? Are your children still alive? That's a simple question. I've got 3 kids of my own. I can tell you every minute where my kids are at. Where are your children?
This is Secrets and Scandals from Beyond the Secret. This is part 2 of the Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow story. On January 30th, 2020, the same day Lori Vallow defies her court order and does not produce her children to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare or to the Rexburg Police Department, and less than 2 weeks after I released my episode on this story, I received the following review on my podcast. Subject: Rampant Speculation. They also need a dictionary before using certain words. Murder does not include justifiable homicide. Username: C.D. Kauai. I have a new word for you, C.D. Kauai. Filicide. It's a noun. It is the deliberate act of a parent killing their own child. At the end of our last episode, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell were nowhere to be found, as the entire world began to panic and search for the whereabouts of JJ and Tylee. But Chad and Lori were here, in Kauai, and they had been here since approximately December 10th, splitting their time between a $720,000 condo in an upscale community, and the luxurious Kauai Beach Resort. Neighbors of the condo, who were unaware at the time of who Lori and Chad were, said the couple appeared to be pleasant and nice, but there was never any mention of kids. Lori was familiar with this area, because, you see, this condo complex was actually right across the street from the townhome community she used to live in, with her ex, Charles Vallow, who is now dead. Allegedly killed in an act of self-defense by Lori's brother, Alex Cox. Alex Cox is the same man who Brandon Bordeaux, that's Lori's niece's ex-husband, identified as the person who shot at him. And the same Alex Cox, who many believe was the man who approached Tammy Daybell, Chad's now deceased wife, with a gun just 10 days before her death. And the same Alex Cox who died, mysteriously, right around the same time Chad and Lori arrived in Hawaii. If you're lost at all, this story doesn't get any easier to follow. But you should definitely listen to the first episode we did back in January. On January 25th, 2020, law enforcement in Kauai served Lori Vallow with a child protection order from Rexburg Police, requiring her to produce Ty Lee and JJ to the Idaho Department of Health and Welfare or to the Rexburg Police by January 30th. The following day, law enforcement in Hawaii served search warrants on the persons of Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow and on a black Ford Explorer they had rented. Law enforcement found the following items in their possession: birth certificates for both Ty Lee Ryan and JJ Vallow, Ty Lee's debit card that was active and had been used since she was last seen, and also JJ's iPad. This is the same day Nate Eaton, which, if you don't know Nate Eaton, he is my own personal hero. He's a small-town reporter from Rexburg, Idaho, who has tirelessly followed this case from the very beginning. This is the same day that he pursues Chad and Lori about the whereabouts of Lori's children. When Nate says to Lori, "There's people around the country praying for your children, praying for you guys," Lori responds, "That's great." I remember watching this, and before this moment, I was on the fence about JJ and Ty Lee, because part of me was terrified, but believed they were dead. And the other half of me was desperate to believe that they were hiding in a bunker somewhere, or living in some community completely off the grid and being taken care of. But in this moment, I no longer thought the children were dead. If you watch the video, she is so smug and arrogant. She walks with her oversized sunglasses and her head held high, and I thought, she knows something that we don't. And on January 30th, this whole thing is going to be over. She's going to prove to the world that there was never a reason to worry, and we will all collectively breathe a sigh of relief. But that didn't happen. On January 30th, Lori defies the court order and fails to produce her kids. Homemade signs begin to go up around Kauai with the words that the whole world is asking, "Where are the kids?" 5 days later, East Idaho News drops a bombshell that sends the entire internet buzzing. Surveillance footage from a storage unit Lori Vallow rented in Rexburg, Idaho. On October 1st, 2019, 8 days after JJ was last seen, Lori signed a $53 per month rental agreement for a 10x10 storage unit. Surveillance videos show that Lori's storage unit was visited a total of 9 times in October and once in November. The majority of those visits were done by Lori and her brother Alex Cox, but there are a few times Lori is also accompanied by another man who is believed to be Chad. In one of the videos, Lori is unlocking the unit and Alex is seen looking around, almost as though he's checking to see if anyone is coming. After that, Alex removes a heavy object from the unit and places it into Lori's SUV. They then head back into the facility and Alex is seen removing a tire and Lori closes the door. On another trip, the man believed to be Alex is seen putting gun cases into the unit and then removing them a few days later. On October 28th, two men believed to be Alex and Chad are seen moving a boy and girl's bike into the unit. The last time they ever visit the storage unit is on November 24th, just 2 days before the Rexburg police perform their welfare check at Lori's townhome. After a few months, Lori's card on file gets declined, which alerts the storage facility that she has a unit there. They call the police and pull all of the security footage. You might not know this, but after a certain amount of time, if you don't pay for your storage unit, it is considered abandoned, which means police were allowed to look inside and what they found didn't make anyone feel any better. The storage unit was filled with a lot of different items, like most storage units are. But all of these items only belonged to Lori's children. From photo books to toys and a backpack belonging to JJ, and these blankets that were created out of collages of pictures of the kids, one for JJ and one for Tylee. The internet went crazy. A lot of people were focused on that very heavy object that Alex moved right before he moved the tire. And it's not that it was just heavy. It looks like a body. The camera is far away, so it's hard to really make out what it is. But if I'm honest, it looks like a small child. People now believe it is actually the back seat of a Jeep. The Jeep that Brandon Bordeaux said shot at him that night, and the same Jeep that once belonged to Charles Vallow. But as I'm looking through these pictures now, with a fresh perspective and knowing everything I know now, it's not the video of what could be a body or a backseat of a Jeep that catches my eye. It's something that doesn't quite fit in with everything else. In a picture of JJ's backpack, it's a BYU black backpack, but you know it's his because in blue marker, JJ has written his initials on it. In that picture, almost cut out of the frame, is a lighter, like a barbecue lighter. It's black and blue, still in the packaging. I searched the internet to try and find the exact lighter to see if it was new or old. Maybe it was an old lighter that just got moved from box to box. There was a lot of moving that happened in this family, but my search never turned up anything. But why was it in there? This storage unit wasn't like something you would see on an episode of Storage Wars or Hoarders. It was fairly empty, and everything in it belonged to Lori's children. I just want to know why. While packing all of these personal belongings up, did this lighter, still in the packaging, make its way into these storage bins? According to police and the storage facility surveillance cameras, oftentimes they would place items into the storage unit only to remove them a few days later. What were they removing? And where did those items end up? After police showed up at Lori's door, she never came back to the storage facility. Instead, she, along with her new husband Chad, fled. Was the goal to eventually empty this entire storage unit? I'll circle back to this later. I want to go back for a minute to Chad Daybell. Who is this man? I previously described Chad as someone you would see shopping for computers at Costco, but I was shocked to see how different he looked once cameras caught up to him in Hawaii. He was tan, but even more than that, he had lost a significant amount of weight. His mannerisms still showed signs of an awkward guy who probably struggles to keep eye contact, but physically, he had definitely left his thumb-like stature in the past. Chad was, as you remember, a novelist who wrote about the end of the world. He believed he had one foot in the spirit world from having multiple near-death experiences. He referred to himself as Mormon, but that was not the case. Chad and Lori belonged to a type of doomsday cult. Believe it or not, the members of said cult really don't like when people call it a cult. So yeah, it was a cult. This group believed in a lot. But to summarize, they basically believed that the second coming of Christ was coming in July 2020, and God had selected a group of 144,000 of them to carry out his work. They are the chosen few, if you will. These beliefs are why people wondered if JJ and Ty Lee could be alive somewhere. I wanted to believe that if Lori was under the impression that the world was ending or that Christ was coming, maybe she just wanted to keep her kids safe until that time came. Melanie Gibb, a friend of Chad and Lori, recently did a sit-down interview where she explained that both Chad and Lori believed they were the head of the 144,000. She also revealed that the very first time Chad and Lori met, he told her that they had been married before in another life. Yes, Chad and Lori have both lived numerous lives on numerous planets. Chad, being a planet hopper, claimed to have the ability to see spirits and cast out evil spirits from people. He was a healer amongst this group. But even more than that, he could also use his powers to fix computers and a bad internet connection. One time, when his company was having computer problems, he invoked his spiritual power to repair a broken computer server. I also have that same power. I unplug the router and I plug it back in. Julie Rowe, one of Chad's friends in the group, claimed that both her and Chad had a vision where angels told them Tammy Daybell, Chad's wife, would die. She also claimed, after the children went missing, that she knew the kids were safe from harm because of a vision she had, where she could see the kids in a bright, beautiful home and playing in the living room and sleeping in their beds each night. On October 30th, 2018, Chad sends Lori an email with the subject, Family History Documents. Chad writes, "Here are the family history documents you requested." This email is confusing, to say the least. I really have no idea what he is talking about, but there is a mention of light and dark spirits and then a rating system. He breaks down how many males and females on the earth fall into each of these rankings. Again, it's very confusing. But here are the important parts. He states that any person with a rating 4.1 and above have made covenants to their side, either dark or light, and cannot switch. Lori's third husband, Joseph Ryan, Tylee's father, who is now dead, scored a 4.3 D. Next to his name is the wording, "now sealed away." That's a 4.3 on the dark side. And remember, a rating of 4.1 or higher cannot switch sides. Underneath Joseph is Tylee. She has scored a 4.1 D. Chad believed that Tylee was a dark spirit. Joshua Vallo, also known as JJ, scored a 4.2 on the light side. Chad breaks down multiple members of her family, but I think that these are the most important. And remember Melanie Bordeaux? She's Lori's niece, who was once married to Brandon, the Brandon who was shot at by Lori's brother. Well, when she left Brandon, she met a new guy named Ian. Allegedly, Ian wrote a note on his laptop that was discovered by his son. In this note, he talks about the plan for Alex to shoot Brandon, but he also talks about JJ and Ty Lee. He states that Chad and Lori believed her children had been possessed and had become zombies. He feared that Alex would have to take care of the kids. Melanie explained to Ian that Alex has a great faith and has never wavered in his trust in the Lord. No task would be too difficult or too great for him. Back in Hawaii, Chad and Lori pack their bags and are off to Maui for a little getaway while Dateline airs their special, Where Are the Children? During this special, we get to hear from April Raymond. She's one of Lori's old friends from her time living in Hawaii before. April talks to Keith Morrison about the changes she witnessed in Lori while still living in Hawaii when Lori started reading Chad's books. And just like Melanie Gibb, April says that Lori views herself as a god amongst these 144,000. What's more interesting is the insight April gives us into Lori's mind during all of this. Lori is telling people that there's a lot of media hype around her right now, and she's just waiting for that to die down. Police are involved. The FBI is involved. The whole world is watching, and freaking Keith Morrison is involved. And she just sees all of this as a bunch of media hype. Again, I think this is why we all wanted to believe the kids were okay somewhere. Because she was always so nonchalant about everything. It felt like Lori knew something or was up to something. Something that we would eventually discover, just not yet. April also mentions finding out about Lori and Chad's wedding. Lori and Chad married on November 5th, 2019 in Hawaii, just 6 weeks after Tylee and JJ were last seen, and not even 3 weeks since Tammy Daybell mysteriously died in her sleep. And the wedding ring Lori ordered for herself from Amazon? That was delivered 2 weeks before Tammy's death. But, you know, Chad had nothing to do with that. I want you to look up these wedding pictures because they make me sick. Chad and Lori are both dressed in head-to-toe white, wearing leis and smiling from ear to ear. In some of the pictures, Chad is holding a ukulele that I am almost certain he cannot play, while Lori does her best impression of luau dancing. They are barefoot, drinking champagne, and soaking up all the beauty that Hawaii has to offer. 6 weeks after JJ and Tylee have last been seen, and just 3 weeks after Tammy Daybell dies.
We begin with breaking news right now at 6. We have just learned Lori Vallo has been arrested in Hawaii. This is huge news. She is the mother of those two.
On February 20th, 2020, Lori is finally arrested by the Kauai Police Department on behalf of the Madison County Prosecuting Attorney's Office for the following crimes: 2 felony counts of desertion and non-support of dependent children, resisting or obstructing officers, criminal solicitation to commit a crime, and contempt of court. She is held on a $5 million bond pending extradition to Idaho. I don't want to spend too much time going over the court process because the one thing I have learned from all of this is that not a whole lot happens at court until much later down the road. The big takeaway here is that Lori's defense attorney requests that her bail be reduced from $5 million to $10,000. He argues that the charges are not all that severe, which is true, but right now this is all police can get on her. The judge keeps Lori's bail at $5 million. In court, Lori speaks with a soft voice. The judge even has to ask her to speak up so she can hear her. Her hair is curled and she's still wearing her own clothes. She does this thing where she raises her eyebrows, scrunching up her forehead, and while she isn't saying anything with it, it's the same face I make when someone is saying something I don't agree with. She doesn't think she belongs here. She thinks this entire thing is ridiculous. She literally cannot fathom why she is here. And again, I want to believe it's because she knows her kids are safe. But now, after the Dateline episode premiered, maybe I am wrong. Maybe what I am reading as Lori knowing her kids are safe is actually Lori believing she's untouchable. Maybe Lori Vallow really does believe she is a god. During her first court appearance in Hawaii, Chad is in attendance. He is sitting in the background wearing a white shirt and a royal blue tie. He looks stupid. And he looks really out of place. He looks like a giant child about to receive First Communion. After the first court date, we see a completely different Lori Vallow. She's in an orange jumpsuit, she's makeup free, and my wife assumes Lori is sleeping with wet hair, put into braids to give off the current prison curls she is sporting in court. She looks sad. Her mouth goes down on the sides, and in the original picture we very first saw of Lori, what I assume is a driver's license picture, she definitely had Botox. I know a Botox forehead when I see one. But her forehead now is full of lines and wrinkles, and she looks worn down and tired. She doesn't hold her head quite as high as she once did, but there is still an arrogance about her. On March 4th, Lori is extradited back to Idaho. 2 days later, Lori appears in court again, and I was shocked to see her. In Hawaii, Lori was wearing an all-orange jumpsuit, and now she was wearing one with orange and white stripes. At first, I couldn't decide if stripes were a bad look on her, or if she had somehow gained 30 pounds in a very short period of time. But in fact, underneath her jumpsuit, she was wearing a bulletproof vest. Lori was still sporting the prison curls that she had debuted in Hawaii, and this time, she sported a red lip. She looked like if a meth head tried to dress up as Taylor Swift for Halloween. During this court hearing, the judge reduced Lori's bail from $5 million down to $1 million. And I was pissed. If this woman got out of jail, she would find a way to disappear. There's still a 2-week window between the time police showed up at Lori's townhome for the welfare check and when they arrived in Hawaii. I mean, other than the death of her brother in Arizona, she will find a way to get out. Lori didn't speak much during this court appearance, but what could be seen and what made everyone's blood boil was Lori's demeanor. She was laughing and smiling with her attorneys because she knew that with this lower bond, she would be out and back in the arms of her planet-hopping husband and living her best life. Thankfully, No bail bonds companies in the area would work with Lori, and she has remained in jail ever since. On March 16th, 2020, two of Lori's attorneys withdraw from her case. And on March 24th, it is reported that the Chandler Police Department is getting closer to indicting Lori for her involvement in the shooting death of Charles Vallo. And right as things start to pick up speed on this case, the entire world stops spinning.
The warning from the CDC, the coronavirus is spreading so quickly around the globe, it may only be a matter of time before it begins rolling across the U.S. with the potential to become a pandemic.
I worried a lot about this pandemic and what it would mean for this case. I wasn't necessarily worried that people would stop doing their jobs, but I do believe media attention is vital to a case like this, because we still have no idea where JJ and Tylee are. And sending everyone into lockdown means less people out searching. In February, a woman came forward who believed she had seen Tylee at a country concert in Nashville. She described a girl who looked just like Tylee, who was accompanied by an older couple. She described their behavior and how the older couple seemed to be very controlling of the girl. The woman even slipped a crayon and paper into the coat pocket of the girl and whispered in her ear, "If you're in trouble or need help, leave a note. It's in your pocket." It was a glimmer of hope that possibly Tylee was alive. But it also begged the question, if this is Tylee, where is JJ? Keeping this story in the headlines meant keeping JJ and Tylee at the forefront of people's minds. In March, I remember reading a post on a psychic's blog about her encounters with Tylee. And while normally I would never read too much into a psychic who is weighing in on such a huge case, because if there's one thing I have learned from listening to endless hours of crime podcasts, it's that psychics are never right. But it was quarantine, and I was desperate for answers. I cannot, for the life of me, find this psychic's blog or remember her name, so I apologize. But this psychic said that she knew both Tylee and JJ were dead. She said that Tylee crossed over right away, but that JJ was stuck in between for some time. The psychic claims that Tylee told her they will find Tylee first, but it'll take some time before they find JJ. She also said that Tylee told her that she knows her mom is a lunatic and has completely lost it, but that Chad is the evil force. He is the one who came into her mom's life and destroyed her. Again, she was a psychic, and I was stuck at home and not working. But in a time when media was silent, I was thankful for any morsel I could get on this case. On April 10th, the Idaho Attorney General's office announces that Chad and Lori are being investigated in the death of Tammy Daybell. Chad was awarded $430,000 in life insurance money after the death of his wife. 2 months after Tammy's death, her body was exhumed and an autopsy was performed. Those results, as far as I know, have not been shared with the public and were sent directly to the Rexburg police. On May 25th, 2020, JJ Vallo turns 8 years old. On his birthday, Kay Woodcock, JJ's grandmother, posted a video to Facebook asking everyone to change their profile picture to one of JJ. She goes on to talk to the camera about how they think of him every day and how their house is filled with things that remind them of him. She mentions his stuffed animals and how the stuffed animals were still waiting for their favorite drummer to return, because that was something JJ loved to do. He would line up his stuffed animals and have a concert for them.
JJ, we look forward to kiss your sweet, beautiful face and hug you tightly. Happy birthday, Joshua Jackson Vallow. Mama and Papa love you.
Police in eastern Idaho searched the home of Chad Daybell in Rexburg
the FBI,
this morning.
Fremont County Sheriff's Detectives and the Rexburg Police served a search warrant on his home this morning. The warrant is sealed, so we can't tell you what they're looking for specifically. However, these two children, Daybell's stepchildren, 17-year-old Tylee Ryan and 7-year-old Joshua Vallow, have been missing for almost a year. They were last seen in September of 2019.
On June 9, 2020, at 7 a.m., the Rexburg Police, along with the Fremont County Sheriff's Department and the FBI, execute a search warrant on the property of Chad Daybell. The Rexburg Police confirmed that the search warrant pertains to Lori Vallow's missing children, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow. This is the second time a search warrant has been served at Daybell's home. The first was on January 3rd. Where officers removed 43 items, searched a shed, and used metal detectors, probes, and rakes to go over several areas of the yard. Around 11 a.m., Chad was taken into police custody. An hour and a half later, police confirm that they have found unidentified human remains on the property belonging to Chad Daybell. The following day, Chad appears in court charged with two counts of destruction or concealment of evidence. John Pryor, Daybell's attorney, argued that Chad's bail should only be a total of $100,000. And it's not until Rob Wood, the Madison County prosecutor, speaks that we start to get a picture into what officers have found on Daybell's property. He says, "The concealment of one of the bodies is particularly egregious. And should Mr. Daybell bail out, he has strong incentive to flee." Matthew Price, who lives across the street from Chad, remembered some strange behavior from Chad last year following the death of his wife and the disappearance of Lori's kids. "We noticed they were having a few bonfires that were kind of out of the ordinary. They had a big bonfire last fall, and they had two or three big bonfires this spring." The fires were in the same spot where investigators used a backhoe to dig. Remember back to the storage unit and the lighter that I had mentioned? Were Chad and Lori burning personal belongings of JJ and Tylee? Or were they burning their bodies? There are a couple rumors floating around the internet. The first, completely unsubstantiated, that Chad had sent text messages to someone close to him saying, "The kids are where the pets are." And the spot where they found the bodies was the same spot where Chad had buried previous pets that had passed away. Another rumor came from one of the aerial shots taken during the dig on Chad's property. It is a blurry image, but circled is what appears to be a woman with blonde hair and her hands behind her back, looking directly at the spot. Some people believe that Lori is the one who outed Chad as part of some sort of deal. This last rumor is one that could never be verified because of who the rumor involves. 2 weeks before Tammy Daybell dies, she went to Utah to visit her family. It is said that Chad was urging Tammy to go and be with them. The day before Tammy leaves, Lori and her brother are spotted at the storage unit, removing the very heavy object and the tire. When Tammy returns from her trip, she notices Chad has dug up the yard, and when she asked him why, he replied, to bury a raccoon. Less than 10 days later, Tammy was dead. I want to read you a passage from one of Chad Daybell's books, One Foot in the Grave: The Strange but True Adventures of a Cemetery Sexton. He wrote this book from his own experience after working as a grave digger for several years. He said, "Sad times are always when you have to bury babies. That's always a poignant moment." On June 13, 2020, the Rexburg police issued a press release that the Ada County Medical Examiner was able to positively identify the human remains found on Chad Daybell's property as belonging to Tylee Ryan and J.J. Vallow. Chad Daybell has entered a not guilty plea to his two felony counts of concealment of evidence after the bodies of JJ and Tylee were found buried in his backyard. He has requested a jury trial. Larry and Kay Woodcock, JJ's grandparents, issued the following statement Wednesday afternoon. "We are filled with an unfathomable sadness that these two bright stars were stolen from us, and only hope that they died without pain or suffering. We ask that you respect our family's privacy while we grieve. We have only just been told of the loss of our loved ones and need time to process. We are not granting interviews at this time, and we hope you all understand that this is the worst news we will ever get in our lives. And we want to be left alone for the time being. Thank you. Signed, Larry and Kay Woodcock, Colby and Kelsey Ryan."
The driver is Pawpaw Larry Woodcock.
The driver is Pawpaw Larry Woodcock.
Say thank you.
Thank you.
And come back.
Come back.
And pay your bill on time.
Yes. Pay your bill on time.